Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, September the 7th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Senator Cory Booker risks his Senate seat in pursuit of facts in the Kavanaugh hearings. Also on the Friday rundown, we'll take you to the state with the fourth highest incarceration rate in the nation. And starting today, a flotilla draws attention to the plight of Snake River salmon. Topping our news, Senator Cory Booker wasn't done with the fireworks on Thursday. NJ.com reports hours after breaking Senate rules by releasing confidential documents, the New Jersey Democrat openly questioned whether Republican President Donald Trump nominated Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court to protect himself amid criminal investigations. "You've seen this president demanding loyalty," Booker told Kavanaugh. NJ.com quotes Booker as saying, "You're not willing to comment on the character of the president, or if you have great respect for this president. I'm just wondering what kind of loyalty is being required of you for this job." On Saturday, Bay Staters will be participating in Rise for Climate, Jobs, and Justice. It's an international day of action for green jobs and bold action against climate change.
Rallies are taking place in multiple cities, including Boston, Provincetown, Beverly, and Worcester. According to Dr. Marty Nathan with Climate Action Now, her group will be calling on Governor Charlie Baker and the state legislature to step up their efforts against climate change by committing to a transition to 100% renewable energy.
"We have the technology to mitigate climate change and to also create jobs and clean our air so that our society is both healthier and more just."
Last month, Baker signed legislation to double the offshore wind energy target to 3.2 gigawatts by 2035. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
The climate rallies are taking place worldwide as leaders and advocates prepare to attend the Global Climate Action Summit in San Francisco starting 1 week from today. Arizona's incarceration rate is among the highest in the nation. A new report from the ACLU says it comes at a huge cost to taxpayers. Here's Catherine Davis Young.
More than 41,000 people were imprisoned in Arizona last year, and the ACLU reports the per capita imprisonment rate in the state has risen 20% since 2000. Alessandra Soler with ACLU Arizona says this is in spite of a decrease in crime and is inconsistent with falling imprisonment rates in other states.
"The data really shows that we're using the penal system, the system of incarceration here, to solve all of our societal problems, like things like drug addiction and mental illness and poverty. And we can't do that, right? Prison's not going to be able to solve all of our social problems."
Soler says Arizona has harsh sentencing laws compared with other states, meaning judges have fewer options to reduce sentences. The ACLU estimates if Arizona introduced alternatives to incarceration for certain nonviolent offenses, it could cut its prison population in half and save taxpayers about $1 billion.
The report says the state has the highest rate of Latino imprisonment anywhere in the country. The annual Minnesota Coalition for the Homeless Conference will be held in Duluth next week as Minneapolis responds to one of the largest homeless settlements the city has ever seen.
While homeless camps in many cities are quickly demolished by law enforcement officials, Minneapolis city leaders are trying a more humane approach. Right now, a coalition of city, county, and American Indian agencies is providing housing assistance, medical care, and other social services to camp dwellers. Fatima Moore with the Minnesota Coalition for the Homeless says the response to the Minneapolis homeless encampment has been encouraging, but notes homelessness is an epidemic that goes well beyond the city and state boundaries.
"There have been other homeless encampments that have emerged throughout the entire state. Homelessness and housing instability is a need throughout the entire state of Minnesota, and it's actually a need just nationally as well."
Minneapolis officials want to clear the large encampment by the end of September, and Mayor Jacob Fry has pledged an effort to find housing for everyone before then. I'm Roz Brown.
And finally, Eric Tegetoff reports the fourth annual Free the Snake Flotilla kicks off today. Participants say a free-flowing Snake River would restore Idaho's endangered salmon and steelhead populations.
Folks in kayaks, canoes, and boats are floating down the Snake to draw attention to the plight of these fish species and call on policymakers to remove 4 lower Snake River dams so fish can swim the river unimpeded. Kevin Lewis, head of Idaho Rivers United, says efforts to save salmon and steelhead for more than 2 decades have largely been unsuccessful.
The federal government has failed to meet its responsibilities to recover these fish. They are hovering on the edge of extinction, yet the agencies and proponents of the status quo insist that the fish are doing better than ever. They're not.
Strong opposition to removing the dams remains. Opponents say the 4 dams still provide hydropower to the Northwest and that barging on the river is important for farmers. Last year, more than 400 people joined the Free the Snake flotilla. This year's event will start Friday evening at Chief Timothy Park near Clarkston, and the float will take place Saturday morning near Lewiston. Lewis disagrees with proponents of the dams, pointing to the West's changing energy landscape. He says California used to be a major buyer of Northwest hydropower, but now has renewable resources of its own.
By the way, the event will feature several speakers from Native tribes, including writer and 2-time vice presidential nominee of the Green Party, Winona LaDuke. Have a great weekend. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.